Good morning, and we would like to welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church. We are located at 333 South Chestnut Street, and if you are blessed by this radio ministry and would like to help support it, your gift may be sent to that address. We have a few radio announcements for this morning. We are starting a children's night out on Monday, tomorrow, May 9th, here at Trinity United Methodist. The second Monday of each month will be a night that's just for children. Please join us in the fun at 333 South Chestnut Street as we watch movies, play games, and have a Bible lesson. Parents can drop their child or children off at 5:30 p.m. and enjoy the 2 hours of quiet time. Just be sure to pick them up at 7:30 p.m. This is currently for ages 4 to 13, but our hopes are that it will grow and that we can expand our ages and groups. We love serving our community here at Trinity United Methodist by serving a meal once a month to whomever needs it or doesn't feel like cooking that night. The next one will be May 21st from 5 to 7 p.m., so please join us for good food and fellowship. Our flowers this morning are provided by Cassie Willis in honor of Alex's birthday, and our radio is sponsored by Cassie Willis and Melissa Wilson in honor of Alex's birthday. Birthdays this week, Mark Smallwood today, happy birthday. Neil and Debbie Paffenberger are celebrating their anniversary tomorrow, May 9th. Chelsea Burrell has a birthday on May 11th, and Brooklyn Delph has a birthday on May 12th. Our scripture this morning is from Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31. And our sermon today will be today's Proverbs 31, Woman, by Pastor Angel Armstrong. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed, and she is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household, and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. The word of God to the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Proverbs is generally attributed to King Solomon, the man wise enough to ask for wisdom to lead all of God's people. But Solomon was not the only wise one of his time. While Solomon so valued wisdom that he collected and wrote most of the book of Proverbs, Agur and Lemuel were also responsible for the final chapters. It was, of course, written to the people of Israel, most of it during Solomon's reign, but some of it, the last few chapters, were written during King Hezekiah's reign. Y'all remember Hezekiah. When you can't find something in the Bible, you say it's in the book of Hezekiah. No, seriously. Hezekiah was so treasured by God that when he prayed on his deathbed, God gave him another 15 years to live. Ladies, I have to admit that I like the fact that wisdom, chokmah, is a feminine term. Wisdom herself is personified as a woman. But before you guys start tuning me out, this message has wisdom for all of us. It is primarily affirming to the women today, mothers, grandmothers, spiritual mothers, and all women. We should all strive to have a goal similar to this. This is a book of wise sayings related to the priorities and problems of everyday life. And folks, human nature has not changed so much since biblical times. We still are created in God's image, and we still have an inherent sin nature. We are fallen, and we are forgiven. While times have changed and progress has made a mighty mess of things, humans are still very much human, in need of grace, salvation, forgiveness, and wisdom. The book of Proverbs is a collection of common sense sayings, something our society has lost today. Common sense, the idea seems to sound too folksy and too simple for most people, and oddly enough, we see less and less and less of it. Perhaps it is because we are too distant or too busy to learn from our parents and our grandparents. And that is a shame, folks, for our elders are our greatest resource. I tell you, I would much rather listen to the old wives' tales or anything whatsoever that my Nana taught me about raising children. I had 4 kids, all 2 years apart. And from the time the first one came to the last one came, Dr. Spock and the medical gurus had what was said here contradicting itself here. So I would much rather listen to my grandmother or other people's grandmothers when it comes to raising children. The book of Proverbs can be a helpful resource to help fill the void in our society by the lack of wisdom and common sense. The whole purpose of this book is to offer protection against dysfunctional relationships and ungodly practices. When I started writing this message, there was a commercial, a video that went through my mind over and over again. And I'm going to date myself with this video, and let's see how many of you remember it. There's a woman dressed to the nines, standing in front of the stove with a pan in her hand. And in the background it says she can bring home the bacon and fry it up in a pan and never, ever, ever let you forget that you're a man. Listen up, guys. This might be about King Lemuel's dream woman, but many of the characteristics are just as useful to men. Our marriages and how they are modeled to our children are a life-changing event for our children, our grandchildren, and our great-grandchildren. For when we get into describing the characteristics more precious than rubies and comparing King Lemuel's dream woman to the woman in the video, let me remind you that we are under the new covenant. And in order for your wife to be submissive, yes, I said the dreaded word, submissive, in order for her to be submissive, You have to be submissive to Christ. You have to be able to lay your life down for her. We all want a spouse who's going to lay their life down for us. But are you men prepared to pray for your wives, to pray for them, to cover them with knowledge, to be present for them, to allow them part of the decision-making process in the marriage, to honestly treat them as Christ treats his church, his bride, today? Some women compare themselves with the wife described in this chapter, and they wind up feeling inadequate. Well, folks, this is a word picture. It is an ideal of what a woman would be like in that time period. And some of it is contextual and can no longer be today. I don't know about you all, but I don't have any servants, and I'm not about to be spinning wool into clothing or flax into cloth. Instead, a woman should accept herself for who she is under the new covenant, a child of the risen King, knowing her full worth in her Father's eyes, and knowing who she is in Christ. We women must commit to allowing God Himself to transform us on the inside, making us more and more into His image. And when we become more and more like Him, we will naturally begin to exhibit the characteristics found in Proverbs 31. I've always loved the description of the Proverbs 31 woman, but she intimidates me. I mean, after all, who does all of that? We would do well to remember that this is just a word picture, something for us to strive for, and that soon we will see by her virtues how we can live that out today. Some of the situations only fit in the context. So what would the Proverbs 31 woman look like today? How can we take this passage and apply it to make it applicable for our generation? In a few minutes, we will break down the passages, not so much by verse, but by virtue. I had help from the commentaries in first establishing what this passage, and that's how we should read anything in the Bible. We first look at it. What was this passage saying to that audience at that point in time? Now, how can we take that and apply it today? Because the words are still just as much true. There might be some things that are out of context. For instance, going to the merchant ships to get our food. Today we don't have to go and order from a merchant ship. They bring that food to Walmart and to JC and we go pick it up there. Granted, today's Proverbs 31 woman is not expected to do some of the contextual duties. Today's Proverbs, I cannot seem to talk today, is no longer expected to turn flax into cloth. And we very rarely plant a field and harvest it ourselves, but we should be eternally grateful for the farming families who do so, so that we have food today. Today's Proverbs 31 woman is not always afforded the opportunity to stay home and to raise her children. When she does, it is a blessing to her, to her family, and to all of society. Here are characteristics that we can all, men and women alike, abide by. Trustworthy. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all of the days of her life. A major part of any relationship, most especially the marital relationship, is trust in all things, big and small. When we get married, we become one, mind, body, and spirit. We are told, biblically, we are to cleave to one another. We are to be present for one another. For this reason, we shouldn't even joke around about divorce. And we should never, ever talk ill of our spouse in public. We should always build them up. If there are differences of opinion, it's to be done behind closed doors. What God has joined together, let no man tear asunder. Purposeful and savvy, she is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. See, I used to look at this verse and think, well, that must mean that she cooks a variety of different foods. She brings them from afar. But the commentary talks about how buying food from afar was a well-planned way to save money. Almost like driving an extra distance to get food on sale. I'm sure it involved extra time and planning, but ultimately it was a great way of managing the household budget. And being financially savvy and intentional applies to women and men alike in any walk of life. Sacrificial or just plain responsible, another thing that our society lacks together. We have little common sense. Godly wisdom is an attribute that is hard to find. And responsibility, being able to stand up and be responsible for ourselves and our actions, is another thing that is difficult in today's society. She gets up when it is still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. Now, I get this one, because the minute you have children, you kiss sleeping in goodbye. It is gone for about another 20 years or so. Whether or not we are ready to get up, whether it's the crack of dawn or the middle of the night, when we hear that child crying, we get up and we take care. This is a great reminder to men and women alike to take care of all of our responsibilities, even when it means putting them before the things that we want. Diligent. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. This describes her business practices. She looks at a field and considers whether or not it will be a sensible buy. Because she manages it well, it produces a good profit, and she uses it to move forward with another business endeavor. All that to say, she works hard, makes good investments, reaps the profits. Not every wife and not every mom has to work a job. But every woman that I know has talent, has graces, has gifts that she wants to apply to her daily life and to that of her family. Disciplined, that D word. Woo! She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hands, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. So, here's my interpretation of this. While it shows how diligent she is, it also shows her working late into the night. Frequently, I remember seeing my great-grandmother working into the middle of the night because it was the only time she had to get caught up on things. Also, the distaff is what was used to keep the fibers together, and in so many ways, that is what the woman of the household does. We women are created to be relational. We are created to be the glue, whether that is in our household, whether that is in our places of employment, or whether that is in the church. We are created to be the glue that holds things together. I do not want to strive to be like my male colleagues. Being a woman is a sacred, precious, God-given honor. We are not less than. We are strong and yet gentle. We are life givers. Even if we have never given birth, we seed into other people's potential. And that potential gives birth to new life. We should not strive to be what our male counterparts are. Yet we should not take from them what they need. A man is created to protect and to provide. He is created to be protective, courteous, and respectful to us as women. And when we take from them what God has placed in their very makeup, we make them less. When a man goes to open a door for you, don't push him aside and say, I don't need that. When he comes running to your rescue to kill a spider, when he provides for you, thank him and build him up. Because God has created him to cherish you. God has created him to protect and to provide for you. And in today's society, with all the feminists and the women livers, and excuse me if I'm hurting anyone's feelings, I believe that we take away from men what they need most. They need our respect, they need our admiration, and they need to be who God has created them to be. Compassionate. She opens her arms to the poor and she extends her hands to the needy. And I love how this is worded, because it's talking of a relational giving. It's not talking about just giving money to missions. It's not talking about just sending your clothes off to a clothing pantry or canned goods off to a canned good pantry. It is talking about becoming involved. with the people who are needy. Whether it's volunteering in the community, whether it's finding a way to be Christ's hands and feet, or whether it's the most important thing of all, bringing unbelievers into the fold, accepting them for who they are, being compassionate, empathetic, kind-hearted, and considerate of their life circumstances as we bring them to the foot of the cross without judgment. And then walk with them as the Holy Spirit works His transformation in them. Prepared. When it snows. You know, when I first read that, I had to look in a couple of different commentaries to make sure that wasn't a mistake. Because I thought, Israel? Snow? Wait a minute here. That doesn't seem quite right. But apparently it does snow there on rare occasions. It says, when it snows, she has no fear for her household. For all of them are clothed in scarlet. In other words, she has the foresight to be ready for inclement weather, unpredictable weather. This still holds true today, especially in Indiana, where Mother Nature is bipolar, and you can have rain and sunshine and that creepy calm before the storm all in one day, all in a couple of hours. And the scarlet clothing, not only is it a beautiful gift and treasured cloth, but it also says a little bit about her style. Not exactly what the color is, not exactly how it's fashioned, but that she cares enough to be diligent and to pay for only the best for her and for her family. We're about to see where it is not so much the cloth or the wool that clothes her as her godly attributes. Tidy. Elegant, neat. She makes covers for her bed, and she is clothed in fine linen and purple. She may not necessarily be trendy or rock the newest, latest fashions, but she definitely maintains her style in appearance and in her home. Personally, I think we're more effective in life if we dress in a way that is inviting and allows people to approach us. When we dress in a way that for our particular circumstances, we are approachable to others. We are then being tidy, neat, and elegant. Supportive and submissive. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among elders. A husband that does well in life usually has a supportive wife beside him. Duh. It is hard to be well respected if your own family doesn't stand beside you. She doesn't hold him back, but she helps him to move forward, especially by taking care of things at home. And I truly believe that this also means that she is submissive. Not that she is a doormat, not that she is less than, but just that she has a different role than what the man does. And she can be submissive to him because he will lay his life down for her. And he will be as Christ is to the church. A man that takes his vows, his marriage vows seriously, placing God as the third strand in the marriage, is a rare treasure beyond all silver and gold. Humble. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She continues to work hard and to make a profit, and it is not beneath her to do hard work or to be part of the business world, even though her husband works hard and is well respected. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all, bless you, all that her works have done, and let her works bring her praise to the city gate. The rest of this is pretty self-explanatory. And a lot of these things apply to women at any stage or any situation in life. Strong, dignified, peaceful, joyful, wise, hardworking, and her family respects her. Reading all these things, I see a lot of things that I want to work harder to. Allow me to close with a Proverbs 31 prayer written by a group of women called Sisters on Our Knees. Dear Father, I can do nothing without you. I come before you for you to be glorified through me. Please help me to be a virtuous and trustworthy woman who does my husband, future husband, or family good all the days of my life. Please give me a heart that delights to work and show me how to manage my time and priorities in a way that honors you above all else. Father, Yahweh, Abba, please show me how I should spend and give the money that you have given to me. And please give me the strength to serve you with all of my heart. Please break my heart for the things that breaks yours, so that I can reach out to the poor and the needy. Thank you that you are near to the ones who have been crushed and bruised in spirit, and that you lift up the poor and the needy. Help me to dress and behave myself in ways that are becoming and glorifying to you. I want to laugh at the future without fear, growing in my faith in you every day. Help me to speak wise and kind words and not to eat the bread of idleness, but to rise up in action for your kingdom. Help me to continue to serve and to bless my family and community as a woman who fears you and you alone. Thank you, Father, for your amazing grace. I love you.